Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Pei Dalid, Nedarim 84a, pagination is 167. We'll start from the Mishnah on the facing page, about 8 lines from the top. Konam, a woman makes a vow, She'eni nene labrios, that I will not benefit from people. Eino yochel lahafer, the husband is not able to negate such a vow. V'yocholah hi lehonos beleket shikcha upeya, and she's allowed to benefit from leket shikcha and peya, which are the poor allocations, which if she has no other means of sustenance, then she's going to be able to take the amount allocated to the poor, the leftovers in the field. Skipping to the Gemara 2 lines later, the Gemara says, Alma, apparently, Evsha de Mitzena Midilei, when you have in the beginning of the Mishnah that he is not allowed to negate it, he's not able to negate it, so apparently it doesn't affect him. And he's still allowed to support her. Mechlal debal lav bechlal briosu. Apparently, the husband was not included in the vow not to benefit from people. Ema seifa. But then, in the second statement, yechol lehanes beleket shikcho peya, we find that she's allowed to take from the poor tithe. Alma bal. Bechlal briosu, apparently, she's not being supported. So which way is it? Again, you have a Mishnah that says that he's not allowed to negate it. Apparently, nothing changed regarding him as a result of the vow. On the other hand, something dramatic seems to have changed because suddenly she's together with the poor and she's not getting from her husband. 3 lines from the bottom, after 2 other approaches in how to explain this, Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman's explanation here is that it's 2 different statements. La'olam ba'al lav bechlal briosu. The husband is not included in people. He's not just an ordinary person. And when she prohibited benefit from persons of the world, the husband's status with her has not changed at all. And this is what the Mishnah means to say in the second statement, Niskarsha, if she were to get divorced from this man, she'll be in a tremendous bind because she made a vow not to benefit from anyone, any people. So good, her current husband was not included. But if he divorces her, what's going to be with her? And at that point, the Mishnah introduces the possibility that she would get supported by the allocation for the poor. So the approach of Rav Nachman is that the husband is not included in the vow about brios, about people. The husband is in a class of his own, and such a vow does not affect him. The only reason that we started wondering how she's going to get supported is if he were to divorce her, but certainly as long as they're married, the husband was not included in the restriction of her vow. On to today's daf, Esvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava says, I have a question on you, Rav Nachman, on your approach that says that the husband is not included in a vow that covers the general population. Ubal lav bechlal briosu, isn't the husband included in the public? V'atanan, we learnt that in a vow of netula ani min ayehudim, when a woman says, I should be removed from the Jewish people, which the Mefarshim explain, and as that Mishnah develops it, she's referring to tashmish, to relations with a man and she makes such a vow, and we find Yofer Chelko, he has to negate his portion. That's all he could negate. Utehe Misham Shoso, and she will still be able to have relations with him. Utehe Netula Mena Yehudim, and indeed she's going to be restricted from other Jews upon his death or divorce. The vow does take effect, but he's able to negate the portion that affects him. Says Rava, v'yamrit ba'al lav b'chlal briosu, if you were to tell me that when you make a vow against the general population, the husband is not included, which is the way you want to understand our Mishnah, so then nidrei inui nefesh hein, her vow, which was said with this ambiguous wording of netula ani mina yehudim, and we thought it meant tashmish relations, is clearly not referring to relations. Because if the husband's not included in the group, then what kind of vow is that? Relations with other men is not even relevant. It must be that she was referring to inui nefesh, some sort of affliction that is relevant, and she's restricting her benefit from other people. V'yofer lo la'olam, and he should be able to negate it for the entire world because it's an inui nefesh thing. Remember, if it's a beino leveino, if it's only an issue between him and her, then he only negates the part that affects him. If, however, it's an inui nefesh, it's an affliction of her, so then he's able to negate it because it's inui nefesh. Says Rava, how are we understanding netula ani mina yehudim? If it doesn't include the husband, as Rav Nachman explains our Mishnah in a similar type of case where she prohibits from people, it doesn't include the husband? Well then, if it doesn't include the husband, then it's certainly not talking about relations. It's talking about inui nefesh, and the entire ruling of the Mishnah seems wrong because it's a regular inui nefesh thing, and he should be able to negate it. The Gemara answers, "Shiny hacha." There's a major difference between our Mishnah and that Mishnah. De muchacha milsa de al hatera ka osra nafsha, because when a woman says that she's taken from the people, and the context there indicates that it's talking about tashmish, relations, so that it has to be talking about the husband, because she's prohibiting something that is otherwise permitted. And therefore, in that case, the general population that she's describing definitely refers to the husband, because he's the only one that she can have relations with. In our Mishnah, however, where it was a general benefit type of vow, so then on the contrary, we say it's talking about the general population from whom until now she was allowed to derive benefit. She could get a gift from them, things like that. And the husband was not included in the general population because there's no compelling reason to say that he is included. And that's how Rav Nachman will understand our Mishnah. The first part, she will not benefit from the population, does not include her husband. It's a vow on everybody else. But if the husband, who right now is allowed to support her, if he were to die or divorce her, then she would be out of that sustenance. And at that point, the vow would be extremely relevant because she's not allowed to benefit from anybody, and the only thing she could do is benefit from leket, shikha, and peya, from the poor allocations. The Ran points out that these poor allocations are very significant because these are not gifts to the poor. Because the Pasuk describes it specifically with the word ta'azov, you should abandon these leftover produce items and allow the poor to take them, therefore it's not considered something that's even tovas hano'ol lebailim, something that the owner is purposely allocating towards the poor person, but rather that the landowner is relinquishing right to it, and the poor person goes and takes it. It's not even a gift to the poor, it's observance of a mitzvah which relinquishes right and allows the poor person to take it because it is now available. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.